Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Friday morning. A feel-good football Friday. The first one in 2025, but one of the few that we have left in this NFL season. When you go into the last week, week 18, you've got tiers of teams and what this week means to them. You got the teams that are fighting to get into the playoffs. You got the teams that are already in the playoffs that are fighting for seeding. And then you got the teams that are just limping to the finish line and don't really care about what's happening in the game unless you're a player that is trying to put some good stuff on film. At least the fan base doesn't care what happens in the game. And then you get the teams that are so bad that you're paying attention to what they're doing to see where they end up in the draft. And then you also have the teams that have coaches that are on the hot seat. And we've got a lot of those going on. We always have a lot of those going on. And will we be coming in here on Monday, on Black Monday, talking about another Giants regime change? Doesn't feel that way right now, but there's still time. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. 6 o'clock gets here fast, man. I was just telling Al, I was sitting in the office, and then I realized, you know, what I was watching on TV flipped over to their 6 o'clock show, and I was like, oh, damn, I got to get in there. The studio with Gio, I'm sorry I've been late the last 2 days.
That's okay.
You know, I apologize for that. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't get a feel for the Giants right now. I have no idea what they're doing. The only thing I can say is that, you know, the last couple of weeks, you start reading articles by guys that are covering the team, and they're talking about the general manager staying because he has the plan, and nowhere to be found is the coach's name in the article. You know, and I feel like there's a separation between the two, and it has started over the last 2 weeks. And they're going to find themselves in a really weird situation because as I was looking over the list of quarterbacks, let's face it, they're not trading up to get somebody and giving up half their draft in next year's first round. I would not do that.
No.
Not for any of these guys. I mean, like, I think that they can play in the league. I just don't think that they're worth these high picks. No matter how desperate you are for a quarterback, go out and find somebody else. Go out and find a Carson Wentz. Go out and find a Kirk Cousins. Go find somebody that's going to be cheap and is going to be a stopgap and worry about next year or the year after that. I don't see anybody on this board right now that is worth like what it would take to go up and get them, because people value that first or second overall pick because they feel like they need to fill a void at the most important position. And I know that there are guys that now, as we get ready to transition into the phase where we start evaluating and the NFL starts evaluating these players, I don't necessarily feel like there's an explosive player in the draft that is going to be a difference maker within the next 2 years. So let's just say they end up, you know, getting Cam Ward somehow, some way. You know, is he going to be Jaden Daniels and CJ Stroud, or is he going to be Anthony Richardson?
Right.
Well, and is he going to be ready to play in an NFL game? Like, is he going to be able to read the NFL defenses that are so much different than the college defenses?
All right, so that brings up an interesting point. Because the situation is what it is in the draft, and at the top of the draft, you don't even like the quarterbacks. And I think the consensus is this is not like last year.
No, it's not even close.
Right. So, all right, so you got that part of it. Now you have the part of it where the Giants may not even have an opportunity to draft those guys, even if they love them. Does the situation that they're in contribute to whether or not they stay or not? Meaning that if they had the number one overall pick and Caleb Williams were there, you'd be like, you know what? I want Brian Daboll and Caleb Williams to work together. I'm going to keep Brian Daboll. You understand what I'm saying? It's a little bit of a...
It's so complicated, and there's so many variables that go into the decision-making of John Mara in this situation, because if they draft a young quarterback and somehow they get up to the number one pick or with the number two pick, and they are 0-7 next year, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, yeah, what happened to Matt Eberflus?
Exactly is what's going to happen. And, you know, and I think we've definitely highlighted that and spoke about that. And, you know, do you think that Brian Daboll wants to work in another young quarterback? And I know he wants to keep his job, and I know it's a job that, a million guys would love to have, but in reality, the losing takes its toll. And a guy like Brian Daboll, you know, unfortunately, they're the fall guys. You know, I've seen my friend go through it twice. So I know exactly what these guys put into it, how hard they work, and how shortchanged they are when their quarterback position is in a state of flux. And if you don't have that right guy, that difference-making guy that's at that position that you believe can run a team for 17 games and stand up and take the beating that is required in order to become one of the best in the league, I mean, you don't have a chance. And I did look at, you know, who the Giants are playing next year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're playing the gauntlet of teams next year. It's ridiculous who they're playing. Now, every year is different. We know that.
Mm.
But at least on paper going into next year, I would sit here and tell you that we're going to see the Giants at the top of the draft again next year. So how are the fans going to deal with that?
Well, right. So think about it. Right. The only way that it's going to feel right that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll stay is if they draft a quarterback and the guy is great. With, like you said the name before, Jaden Daniels. That's the only way it's going to feel right that they stayed, because all these other scenarios, I guess there's another one. There's another one that could happen I think is very unlikely.
If they trade for J.J. McCarthy, is that?
Well, right. They either get a guy like that or they bring in a stopgap guy that ends up being really efficient at that position.
Kind of like Sam Darnold this year or Baker Mayfield.
Right, and then the defense figures it out. Neighbors, maybe they draft another offensive weapon, and then all of a sudden they're a little more competitive.
Or they sign a free agent offensive weapon.
Right, but I don't see that happening, honestly.
I feel like I kind of feel like at the moment we're sitting here right now that they're at a dead end.
Yeah.
You know, and they're at a dead end because, you know, they sank or swam with Daniel Jones. They let Saquon Barkley go. He runs for 2,000 yards, becomes that gold jacket guy that Dave Gettleman said he was going to be.
Mm.
They've had numerous injuries, failures in the draft.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, and I'm not, I want them to win. I want them to do well. It's easier for us to cover teams when they're winning. Like the Knicks right now, turn on the mic, start talking glorious about the Knicks and their 9-game winning streak and the fact that they're playing a team that's won 14 in a row, and you got yourself, you know, a mid-season championship potential.
Yeah, it's funny you say the Knicks, because I was going to make that comparison to when all those years where they were in absolute NBA purgatory and closer to hell than anywhere else, where you felt like there's no way out. There's no way out. Like, all right, we have the one of the three worst records. Okay, you didn't get the number one overall pick. All right, you got this guy. And then all of a sudden, you're too good to get one of the top picks. And then there's nobody in the draft. And then you draft this guy, and then he stinks. And then Giannis gets picked behind. And, like, there was no way out. You were stuck in one of these escape rooms with no escape. And then finally it happened after years and years and years. Feels like the Giants are in that situation right now.
100% it does. And because there is no... leading answer right now for them. You know, they do have some really good players on the roster. They do. When they're all healthy, there are some top-end players, and so it's not the void of total talent. But what it is missing, it's missing the playmaker at quarterback. And you can't sit here and tell me that Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, Jalen Milroe, Carson Beck, any of these guys that are coming out this year at this moment are the answer to a 9-win season next year. I mean, next year, if they have a rookie quarterback and people think he's going to play and turn this season or turn this thing around, they got another thing coming.
Yeah.
Let's look at reality here and try to figure out Joe Shane is going to, if he is here, they're going to have to be really creative and really aggressive. And the reason being is because I could just hear it like in the middle of next season. They're 1-7. Oh, here we go again. This franchise, they suck. Get rid of the owner. Get rid of it. I mean, I could just hear it all over again.
Yeah, and then you put that quarterback in that horrible position that we've seen the Jets put a couple of guys in, where there's coaching changes, their offensive coordinator changes, there's everything. And then, you know, that's what you got with the Chicago Bears right now. And I don't know if they're going to hang on to the offensive coordinator that they promoted.
Oh, they're getting rid of those guys. They're cleaning house.
Right. So then now you're talking about a Caleb Williams in his going into his second season is going to have his third offensive coordinator.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something that you got to think about, you know, if you draft that quarterback. Now, they're also going to have pressure on them to draft a quarterback. Like that, they might have to, because of where they are, just have to do it. How the hell, like, what's the alternative at this point?
It would have to be a stopgap guy.
You
know what you do? You trade down and you get more assets is what you do. And you be realistic about what you're trying to do here.
Do you do that with this regime or another regime?
But that's the point. I mean, like, this regime right now needs to win. And they're not going to win next year if you're telling me that they are going to draft reach for a quarterback in the first round and throw him out there week one in the NFL season.
Yeah, I mean,
are you going to tell me?
No.
There is no Jaden Daniels. And by the way, we were watching offseason Hard Knocks. What player did Brian Daboll say, go get?
Jaden Daniels.
Right. So he knows.
Yeah.
He knows better than we know. He knows better than all the fans out there know. He knows who the players are that he thinks he can win with. And he needs, like, whoever it is. I mean, can you see another season where they are picking first, second, third, or fourth, fifth next year in the draft?
Of course. I mean, I think that's the most likely situation.
But I'm just saying, with this regime or this coaching staff.
Yeah. I mean, I
tell you what, if that's my hockey team, I want the coach out. I want him out. You know, hockey and basketball, they recycle coaches all the time. But I'm just like football coaches. They're striving. These teams are striving for stability. I've always screamed about stability, but I know. I also know the realities of the business, and I know how fans react. Like, fans don't want to be told, "Hey, we're bringing back this group." But you know what? Next year, we're going to temper our expectations because Joe Shane has a plan for the next 3 years. And when you start adding up all the years and all the losing, do you think that the fan base, the season ticket holders, the sponsors, do you think that the business side of this football team is going to be a positive or a negative going into next season?
I mean, of course, it's going to be overly negative. And the Joe Shane part of it, I think. And we like him, we like Brian Daboll, but the worst thing that's happened to the Giants has been those top picks at the draft by Joe Shane, like missing on Kayvon Thibodeau, Evan Neal, and Deontay Banks. I mean, those have been the biggest ones. Like, as much as I can't stand the Lions right now, you went through the picks that they made to build this team. That is how you build. Like, you hit on Aiden Hutchinson. You don't miss on Kayvon Thibodeau. You hit on Penny Sewell. You don't miss on Evan Neal. Like, I mean, it's just
They hit on Jahmyr Gibbs.
Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean,
I will never forget when Jahmyr Gibbs, I think it was his second year at Alabama, and I'm sitting there with Coach Cowher in the NFL Today, and Coach Cowher goes, "Man, look at this kid. I love this kid." I'm like, I didn't see what he saw. I don't know what he saw. Like, you know, I'm not a head coach looking at running backs, watching them. Day in and day out, but coach is saying that just Jahmyr Gibbs is like Bijan Robinson, man. These two guys are unbelievable. And, you know, he saw it, and obviously he would know better than I did. And, man, he was right on both of them.
Yeah. I mean, and also, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown, fourth round pick. Wandale Robinson. You know, like, I mean,
yeah.
You think about these things. That is the difference.
Yeah, but I also...
Drafting well.
Well, I also think the difference, too, is, you know, the Lions, I feel like, finally hit on a coach. They finally had this offensive coordinator that has turned out to be great. And I've talked to a number of people, and I've told you this last year about Ben Johnson's offense and how intricate and how great it is and how freewheeling it is and how good Jared Goff has become in it. You know, those things, it's taken time. You know, they didn't get off to a great start, you know, and it took time. But what did they do? They stayed with the veteran quarterback that went to a Super Bowl that everybody was like, you know, get rid of this guy. He can't win a Super Bowl. He took his team to the Super Bowl. And when it first started in Detroit, they thought that it was a bust. It was a bad trade. The whole situation was not great. And then all of a sudden, they started building around him. He started getting more comfortable in the offense. Players started making plays. They were devising an offensive game plan that is probably one of the best top three offenses in the league because of the way that it is designed, the things that the quarterback can do at the line of scrimmage, the things that Jared Goff actually brings to the game. He doesn't run with the ball. He stands in the pocket and delivers the ball to let his teammates run with the ball. You know, they don't call running plays for Jared Goff. I don't know if you've noticed this.
Well, of course. Yes, I've noticed.
I mean, like, so you could play the position like Jared Goff plays the position. Is there a player out there right now that could be Sam Darnold or Jared Goff for the Giants next year? Could the Giants add T. Higgins as a free agent? Could they sign a quarterback? And I'm going to throw out a name, and I'm going to keep throwing this name out until we see him this week. And I don't know if he's going to play any well. He hasn't played all year, but there's a guy that's young, there's a guy that's healthy, there's a guy that's athletic, and his name is Carson Wentz. Yeah, see, if I would have said that about Sam Darnold last year, you would have done the same thing.
Well, that's not true. I said he was going to have a good year.
Yeah, well. Once you figured out was what was going on, but everybody else out there would have like laughed at Sam Darnold being their starting quarterback going to last season. You know that, and I know that.
But hold on.
And then, like, if I say that, if we would have said that about Baker Mayfield, after Baker Mayfield lost out to Sam Darnold in Carolina and went to the Rams, and like in 2 days figured out an offense.
All right, there's a little bit of a difference. Because the main reason why I thought, there was two big reasons why I thought Sam was going to succeed. One was he sat an entire year there with Kyle Shanahan. And then two, the environment. We're talking about a dome with all those weapons and an offensive head coach that proved that he could take any quarterback and win with it. He pulled Joshua Dobbs off the landfill and won like three or four games with him the previous year. So like he could do the Giants, they're not in anywhere near that type of situation. They've got one exciting offensive player. They've got an offensive line that is miserable.
Well, you know, by the way,
they play in a hellhole outdoors, and they have sucked for the better part of the last decade. So, like, it's not a plug-and-play situation like it was. Like, the Vikings went 13-4 a couple years ago with Kirk Cousins. The Giants are in the basement every year.
Here's the deal. So, Mekhi Becton was an injury waiting to happen, almost ate himself out of the league with the Jets. Now he's walking off the field with the Philadelphia, you know, Eagles crying because he's gotten his act back together and he's become a professional football player and he's become effective for them. Evan Neal has been an unmitigated disaster. They're going to end up getting rid of him next year, and somewhere somebody will pick him up, probably move him to guard and probably work his ass off, and he'll probably become a serviceable player, because right now he's anything but that. But they tried so many different ways to fix this offensive line. Free agency, trades, draft, high draft picks. They've tried a million different ways, and it hasn't worked out for them. But then again, the quarterback hasn't helped either.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the problem that you have if you're a Giant fan and you sit here and you look at your coaching staff and you're like, okay, so next year we're going to be 1-7 with the same head coach. How are we going to be reacting to a 1-7, no matter who the quarterback is, because of their schedule next year? How are you going to feel about that? You're going to want the guy fired.
Well, yeah.
Now, the question is there somebody that is in the coaching carousel right now that you think that is going to make your team significantly better just by his presence being on the sideline?
Vrabel's the only guy. Vrabel's the guy that I would... to be the most confident in now that Belichick's gone, which is amazing that this could have been the reuniting of those two guys.
There was a reason why somebody, you know, Belichick was reaching out to teams, seeing whether or not there was any interest, and there was none.
It's crazy.
That is nuts. So he's got some sort of reputation within the NFL that just completely pulled everything that he's ever accomplished as a coach right out from under him.
I think he's exhausting, and I think that everything's got to be his way. And then people in those buildings, you know. But listen, I'm just doing devil's advocate here. I'd love to have Bill Belichick as my head coach, but I think that owners are afraid of it. That's what I think. I think they're afraid of him coming in and it being his team. And then Bob Kraft, who knows what he's saying about him behind closed doors to his owners.
Super Bowls.
There's some weirdness going on in there.
I'm not saying that he's not weird. Every football coach is weird.
No. I'm saying with the Kraft-Belichick relationship. Mm-hmm. You saw it in that documentary. Yeah,
I know. And then, you know, why did Tom Brady leave and everything else? I know. The Giants are stuck. I mean, Joe Shane better be creative. I mean, if they want to have a half of a chance next year, who is the guy? Who is the guy that's going to be standing behind center?
No idea. It's either going to be the guy that they drafted, which I thought was going to be a lock until they won last week, and now it's either going to be they either trade up and get a guy, or someone falls to them, or it ends up being one of these other guys, one of these Carson Wentz, Sam Darnold type guys. That's what it's going to have to be.
I mean, the more I think about it, like if somebody said, hey, would you want that job? I'd be like, no.
Well, it's still better than the Jet job, I think. Still.
Well, they have quarterback issues, too.
I mean, I think they're actually in a worse situation. But anyway, that's for maybe 7 o'clock on this Feel Good Football Friday.
Worse situation. Yes. You know, a lot of guys that are jumping off ship right now. A lot of guys saying, I want traded. I want out of here. I want to get, you know, that's why whoever the Jets hire as a head coach better be the real deal, man. Better be the real deal and better re-energize these players to want to stay here.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. CeeLo is here as Jerry Recco got in very, very early this morning from his trip with Rutgers. So got Lopresti on this Feel Good Football Friday. What's going on, Chris?
Good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So we know already there'll be no Saquon Barkley in Sunday's regular season finale. There'll be no breaking of Eric Dickerson's rushing record. But with the Giants serving as the opponent for what is really a meaningless game, I guess Saquon and the company he is endorsing felt like it was the perfect time to poke some fun at John Mara. So we did get access to that video and audio from yesterday.
I'm Saquon Barkley. I've heard you guys have some trouble sleeping lately. We got a big game coming up. You should rest up. Maybe try some Unisom. I don't need it, but you might. I'm going to sleep like a baby.
So the delivery and the acting, not great, but I think the message there and who it's delivered at is kind of clear. And there was one more, and then you can comment.
I heard some of you were having trouble sleeping, so I wrote you a lullaby. Rock-a-bye, baby, awaken your bed. As the thought of 2000 swirls in your head. It sure is tough to lose sleep over football. Not for me, though. Good night to you all.
Yeah, I mean, John Mara loves Saquon Barkley. He said all the right things about him. He had his back in all of those meetings. He's not the guy that you go and troll in these situations.
You know what? I would just say, don't touch the money. Football's a game that will come back and get you at a moment's notice. And, you know, that's got knee injury written all over it.
That's what Al said. He can't wait to see him, you know, turn an ankle or something in the playoffs. He'll go for 6 yards rushing.
I mean, I just, you know, just be in it. To me, like, Saquon's always humble, always a very professional player.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem to jive with me.
What am I missing with the 2000 reference?
Is there is amount of yards he's got?
Yeah. Yeah, but okay.
Dreams of 2000 yards.
I know. No, I get that. But if he's making it about John Mara and him losing sleep. Like, that wasn't about the 2,000 yards. It was about him leaving for the Eagles.
You know, well, one thing I will say, everybody...
I get it. They're wedging it in. It rhymes.
In front of him on that list, and there are seven other players that have gone over 2,000 yards. Chris Johnson's right in front of him by 1 yard.
Mm.
They all did it in, what, 16 games, right? I mean, most of them, if not all of them. I would think all of them did 16 games.
More rushing attempts for everyone on that list, except for Barry Sanders. He had less.
He had less rushing attempts. So, yeah. Saquon has got 345 rushing attempts. Eric Dickerson had 379 rushing attempts.
Yeah. So, we talk games or attempts, however you want to slice it. You know,
he had a good year.
He did.
He had a great year.
That's Saquon Barkley. Had a really good one in an Eagles uniform. You know, Al is not known for his impersonations like I am known for my impersonations. And Al was... he broke out a great one, though, this morning with as he was trying to imitate Saquon Barkley during this commercial. Al, would you like to do your Saquon impersonation?
Hey, I'm Saquon Barkley. The Giants maybe need a sleep aid. I don't need a sleep aid because I'm rushing for 2,700 yards.
I thought that was magical.
Do it how you did at the very beginning.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time remembering how I did it.
It was like the old man emphysema voice, yeah.
Oh, hey, I'm Saquon. I bet you can't get to sleep. I can.
Come on.
Oh, it's so bad. I mean, it really is. I know we sound bad and we do like acting things in promos, but this is even worse. It's way worse.
Now, which did you like more? His impersonation of Saquon or the jab he took at Boomer on the Boomer Show?
Oh, yeah, that is true. I mean, it's...
What is that?
I wasn't going to bring it up. But
no, you weren't?
No, I wasn't going to do it.
What
just
did I say?
It's a feel-good football Friday. Well, I wasn't going to bring this up.
It ended in feel-dead Friday here. Well, what,
so I'm assuming you pulled this thing?
Fleegs did. I know he has it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, let's hear it then.
Yesterday, Boomer's like, did this season secure a gold jacket for Saquon? What are you? Are you kidding me? 1 year?
There he is.
was this year a gold jacket performance? So, I mean, was that a Hall of Fame performance for a running back? He's on a list of one of eight guys.
Yeah, for 1 year.
I said this was the performance that Dave Gettleman said you would see consistently. That when he drafted him, he said, this is who he is.
I defended you, for the record.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. It's like there's a different version of Al from 5 to 6, yeah. You know?
Trust me, I know.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in there and smash him between 6:30 and 7.
Especially from 5 to 5:15. Yeah. It's the worst. Yeah.
100%. Yes.
Yeah, it's like lancing a boil. You know, like it's like there's this like big boiling like thing of pus. It has to be just squeezed out 5 to 5:15, then he gets it all out, then he's normal again.
He's like the pimple popper.
He is. I can't watch that show. I tried watching that show.
There's a show about pimple popping now?
Oh, yes. People with
where
big
have you
old...
been? That thing's been around for about at least
Dr.
7 or 8 years.
You guys, some of the reality TV you guys watch is...
I don't watch this one. I don't watch this
some
one.
Some of the people that have these things, I don't know where they come from.
Yeah, I mean, it's subhuman, it feels like, you know?
Yeah,
it's just like big things on their backs, and it's like bubbling, and then they...
I don't get queasy about a lot of things.
I can't watch that
one. I don't think I'd handle that very well.
And this is what you're talking about, lancing a boil.
Yeah, well, that's what it's like with Al. Just needs to get all of it out.
Right.
From 5 to 5:15, then he's fine.
And he gets it out, that's for sure.
Yes,
it's his therapy session.
Yes, and he's done that the last two mornings.
Did you get into a fight with him?
No, no fights. I've just enjoyed and laughed at his ornery nature.
Did fact check me the entire time I was yelling about Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
I was like, community notes for Al, you know, on X.
Yeah.
Just to keep him in line, make sure we don't put too much nonsense out there. That's not true. Right?
That's true. Is that the Christmas present you're wearing?
No.
No.
I haven't worn this since they lost to the Panthers in the East Finals, so I figured I better get another couple wears out of it while I can.
Yeah.
You know, Mika actually scored a goal last night. First 5-on-5 goal since before Thanksgiving.
Did you watch this whole thing last night?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you watching the same game that I'm watching?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
The game where they should have lost like 6-2.
I'll post something on X and other Ranger fans will come back and talk to me. I'm like, oh, that's a great defensive play. I'm like, what are you watching?
I mean, there were a few mixed in, but there were also a lot of instances where the goaltender covered up for some.
You got to be kidding me. There had to be at least 15 grade A shots.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, that's what I'm saying. They could have lost 6-2 easily.
I love Joe Micheletti. He was telling me how great Vekanainen is, whatever the hell his guy's name is. And then on the next possession, he throws the puck right out in front of the net.
I know. And it almost felt like at one point Sam was running through Ryan Lindgren's career, like he's trying to build up his trade stock.
Maybe, I don't know. And those guys are in a tough position. I get it. And they do a great job, and I love them to death. But, man, oh, man, oh, man.
They actually have been much more critical. Like, Micheletti, you can tell, is annoyed. I won't play it now.
He's annoyed. I'm annoyed.
He's ripped.
Stop talking.
Shut up, pal.
He has ripped their effort, specifically on defense, numerous times now.
It is brutal. I mean, like, I don't know. Keandre Miller is like a flip away from a, you know, either a penalty or a giveaway.
Well, he did flip one into the crowd.
Yeah, I know he did
last night. So, yeah.
I mean, I've never seen a guy flip the puck as much as he does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, it's like panic flipping.
We're going to have to Lance a Boyle for Gio.
Lance a Boyle.
Talking about the Rangers. Yeah. They did beat the Bruins 2-1. Jonathan Quick, 32 saves.
Oh, my God. Jonathan Quick was amazing.
Basically,
last night. That was the guy that beat the Rangers in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That version,
playing at that
level.
Yeah, the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yes, I gotcha. All right, we played a little Aaron Rodgers on yesterday's show, assessing his time with the Jets and also reflecting on his career, whether or not it'll continue next season. So Sunday against the Dolphins could be the last NFL game we see from him. Going to take some time, though, before making any decisions.
I just need a break mentally to kind of refresh and put my feet in the sand and then see where I'm at after that.
And then he even poked fun at himself a little bit when he was asked how he'll go about his decision-making process this time around. Hello?
Probably darkness again. No, I think I'm done with that. I won't be doing any darkness retreats this offseason.
How... The laughter from the media, how forced versus how real?
I think they thought that was pretty funny, actually. Yeah.
I think that was just real. Like a easy mark for Rodgers, you know, make him feel good.
Aaron is aware of everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would say something like that because he knows that's what he's reading, that's what he's hearing. You know, that's the talking points by people who don't like him. But he knows what's going on.
So but there's something new with him. Like, first it was the ayahuasca, and then it was the darkness.
Yeah,
then
but
it
that's
was
what I'm
the,
saying. He understands all that stuff. That's why he's poking fun at it.
Sure.
But I think it's forced. I think the people, Aaron Rodgers, such a big celebrity, he's still a guy that we hold in high regard, even after what he did here with the Jets, which was nothing. But when he says stuff like that and he smiles at you and you're a reporter standing right there.
Gotta laugh.
And yeah.
Good one, Aaron.
So, yeah, the answer is forced.
All right. Speaking of...
In your eyes it was. In my eyes it's not.
All right, well, let's get your take on this. Okay. Let's check in on the Steelers ahead of a key Saturday night game against the Bengals. AFC North title still up for grabs. And, you know, George Pickens... key part, really the main piece.
Is he going to play
on offense? I'm not sure of, but the main weapon for Russell Wilson and the Pittsburgh offense. However, apparently some awkwardness remains from the Christmas Day loss to the Chiefs. Here he was with the media yesterday.
It seemed like you and Russ weren't on the same page in that interception against the Chiefs. How does that happen, and what do you guys do to address it?
He said me and Russ wasn't on the same page.
Yeah, well, that's what he said.
That's what he said?
Yeah.
Or is that what you said?
That's what he said.
Okay.
Yeah. How do you just address that?
Thanks, guys.
And that was the end of that.
Yeah, there's a visual component of this, too, because he's got one of those...
ski masks.
Things on where just basically your eyes are covered. He has the, you know, underneath, so his mouth, he could speak. And then he just takes that and puts it over his mouth, and that's where the PR person goes, all right, thanks, guys. Yeah.
Well, you have to give that reporter a lot of credit because he knows that he is a firework ready to go off.
Yeah, I mean, I think his act is gone stale now. I mean, it's like enough already. I mean, every single game you're doing something, you're getting penalized. I mean, you're acting like this. You had your FU stuff on your face. It's like enough already.
Or you're not playing because you're hurt.
I mean, you're not TO in your prime. You know, I mean, you're a decent player.
I will say the Bengals have trouble with the Steelers, much like Lamar Jackson has had trouble with the Steelers over the years. I think he's got, Joe Burrow's got 9 touchdowns and 14 interceptions against them.
There's a reason Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season, right? Yeah,
that's right.
Want a glimpse into why Kevin O'Connell's built a reputation now for being like a quarterback whisperer. So here he is, mic'd up, talking to Sam Darnold through the headset late in this past weekend's big win over the Packers.
All right, Sam, hey, step away for a sec. Hey, so you're playing your absolute off. If we're smart right here, get these guys, walk into this huddle, tell them it's about execution, and let's put these guys away right now. All right? Physicality, ball security, finish. You keep making great decisions, man. You're balling.
So freaking proud of you, man.
There you go. There's
that's
your
awesome.
Guy.
Dono is great.
Take him to the playoffs, Dono.
That's awesome.
Remember, I told you, Cottle guy, and it works.
Yes.
Kevin O'Connell.
Cottle guy.
O'Connell's a Cottle guy or Darnold's a Cottle guy?
No. O'Connell's a Cottle guy, right. And it works.
Yeah, but Darnold needs Cottle.
That's what I mean. So yeah, know your quarterback.
Need it. Yeah. I think, listen, after what Sam Darnold has been through already in his career, mm-hmm. he needs some coddling.
Agreed, but you brought it up yesterday, and I felt the same, like, if he ever shook free, bring him to the Giants. But can you imagine Dable talking like that to him?
No, I don't see that.
He'd be lighting his ass up. Kidding me? Vikings,
Lions. But I could see
Lions.
Josh McCown coming with him because he's QB. He's never called plays. But if you're sitting there with Kevin O'Connell, you now know how to call plays. And you can coddle Sam Darnold here at the Giants with, you know, Brian Flores, your head coach.
There's your selling point. Come to the Giants and you can coddle Sam Darnold. Vikings
a
Lions Sunday night. You coddle spot. It yeah. is true that in that dude in that division, you got three teams double digit wins, and the personalities for the three head coaches are alarmingly different between Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, and Matt LaFleur. Right?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, but Dan Campbell's a coddler. He's a crier. He actually cries.
I know, but he's
a crier. I don't.
Yeah, but he's super intense.
Matt LaFleur seems like a prison guard to me. And I'm like, he comes off that way. Although I know he's very bright, he's not that way, but he just seems that way.
Yeah, and then Kevin O'Connell's just like this happy. This is great, man. You're the best. I love you. Even though you had a bad game, come on, you're going to be fine.
Coddle guy.
It's a coddle guy.
Coddle okay. spot. All right, I'm out of time already. College football playoff, you did have the Sugar Bowl that was postponed. They play yesterday afternoon. Notre Dame returns the second half kickoff for a touchdown, and they end up winning 23-10 over Georgia to advance to the semifinals. So they will face Penn State in the Orange Bowl, which will be played next Thursday. The top four seeds who got the byes all wiped out in this first installment of the 12-team field. The Nets beat the Bucks, and they're a tough team to figure out right now. You got D'Angelo Russell back now as he was part of the victory last night. We touched on the Rangers. The Islanders lost at home to the Maple Leafs. And Jerry, although Ace Bailey played well last night, they took a loss on the road in Indiana. So we'll hear some of his play-by-play calls a little bit later on.
All right, thank you, CeeLo. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on this Feel Good Football Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Yesterday afternoon, I ended up watching a couple of different documentaries. One was the Avicii documentary called I'm Tim, which is a very sad story, but just absolutely fascinating, of the Swedish DJ who became Avicii and unfortunately ended up dying at a young age. Ended up killing himself. I mean, there's a very, very just insane ups and downs.
You're watching that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Georgia Notre Dame yesterday.
This was early on, man.
Oh, okay.
It was early on in the day. You know, when a time I get home.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, I can't believe that's what you were watching.
Why?
I don't know. It just seems like a very tough watch. And
no, I mean, it was fascinating. It was interesting and learning about him and the music. And there was incredible footage of him putting together some of his most famous songs and Levels and Wake Me Up. And they had the footage of him actually with the other producer, I think was in like Incubus or something. He was a guitar player. And they're starting to do Wake Me Up. And then they like Aloe Black, just the guy who sings it, is like happy to be in town. He's like, you know, let me give him a call and bring him over here, see if his voice works with this. And Aloe Black came with these lyrics. And then Avicii's like telling him the melody that he wants. They have all this footage. It's one of these humongous hits. And watching that was just fascinating to see how it came together. And Chris Martin of, what the hell's the name of that band? Coldplay, you know, he did that song Sky Full of Stars with him, and it's just like this guy comes in and it's just like he's this magical touch, and he just couldn't deal with being famous and had a major, major drinking problem, and it all fell apart and he died at a very young age. But it's a really, really good documentary.
How long was it?
About an hour and a half.
All right.
Yep. And I also saw this thing that reminded me of Al, and I think that he should start, like, there's a lot of times that I feel like Al needs more things to do. So it's called Don't Die. And it's about this guy, Brian Johnson, who has dedicated his entire life to trying to age backwards, like to get younger. And it is, his routine is insane. And it's working to a certain degree, like his organs and his whatever, the biological age is gone down 5 years. And he's like only aging 6 months out of every 12 months. And then it's nuts the stuff that he does. And he's like, he's going to Honduras to get gene therapy. And he's sharing plasma with his kid and his dad. And I'm thinking, Al, he's already at the point with nutrition, and he has gotten younger looking over the last number of years. He should now join this Don't Die group and start doing some of this stuff. Like, just send him to Honduras to get these shots. Let's get some plasma in him of a younger person. So we'll find like a young... Gina's got a son, right?
Yes.
We could get his plasma and inject it into you, get the young plasma into you, and just keep it young.
Do you know if he ate the placenta after birth?
He did not do that. Okay. He did not do that. But he would. He would do anything.
Sounds like it.
He would do anything. And what's nuts about this guy, he was a Mormon. He had multiple children and a wife. And then he decided that he was bored and wanted to do something in tech. Ends up creating this thing called Braintree, which ends up buying Venmo. Then he sells it for a gazillion dollars and then just decides, I'm done with this life. I'm going to go out to California. I'm going to buy this giant mansion. I'm going to try to age backwards. And then he's got one son who still talks to him. The rest of the family does not talk to him. The son goes out there and he just all day long, he's just doing this stuff.
Yeah, like, but the point being is that he's doing more than just aging backwards, because you're watching him age backwards, which therefore he's putting a TV show out there.
Well, yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's a sort of a implied. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just, yeah,
since I watched it.
It's going to end for everyone at some point.
Right.
Yeah. Come to grips with it.
Yeah. Well, he, yeah, we all know he's going to die. But he wants to, like, you know, he's been looking at people like 120, 120, is he feels like that's the cap.
How old is he now?
I think 45.
Yeah. But he's really 25.
No, he's looking a little younger there. But like maybe he's like 40, actually. It's like only 5 years younger. But he's working on it every day. Every single day, like 45 vitamins and all sorts of crazy stuff. I mean, he spends $2 million a year just doing this.
Doesn't LeBron James spend $1 million a year on his body?
Probably.
I think Tom Brady's up there too.
Yeah. But you know what? No one's doing it like this guy.
How much you spend on your body?
I don't know. Let's ask the portly villager. I think I got a tab running.
What an absolute colossal waste of time.
But I mean, I honestly think there's some things here that Al could get involved. I think he'd actually like this guy because, you know.
You got nothing to do.
Right.
Yeah, I did. I watched the preview of this and I saw just a list of, he's like, I get up in the morning, I take 55 vitamins.
Yeah.
And then it was like, he does this. Then I take 34 vitamins.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
And he eats his breakfast while stretching, like, so he doesn't waste any time. So he's like sitting there stretching like
Al.
This.
Out, just see balance of nature like Phil Sims does.
Yeah.
And like me and Gio.
Phil.
That's right.
Actually, that's got a new delivery right of balance here, of nature.
Yes. It comes every month. Perfect.
We missed Phil for 2 weeks. We didn't have Phil for 2 weeks.
I've had Phil.
You've had Phil. I haven't had Phil.
I've spoken to Phil plenty of times.
Yeah.
He's all up into these quarterbacks now.
You think Phil's aging backwards?
No.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
You think he's going forwards with the age?
He's going forward. We're
He looks pretty good for his age.
We're all going forward.
No, yes, except for this Brian Johnson. He's sort of going backwards. A little bit.
No.
A little bit. But I mean, it's no life to live, though. You know, it really isn't. But he's like a guinea pig to see what works for people in the future.
And then when it's all over for him, how do you think he reflects back on his life?
He's going to say, you know what? I was a test experiment to help out the rest of the human race to try to live longer and a longer, healthier life.
People always ask me, what am I doing?
what am I doing these days?
What am I doing?
I'm waking up. I'm taking 4,000 vitamins. I'm getting the plasma of a young man injected into me. I like them big and thick. You know, and then I'm watching
big
these quarterbacks.
Thick. Big and thick.
Big and thick. Oh, the moose knuckle.
The moose knuckle. Oh, my God.
You can hear me giggling like a schoolgirl in the background of that.
You were so happy you got him to say that.
Oh, yeah, I really was. That's like one of my top 10 achievements in life.
Was that our first year at the draft?
I don't know exactly when that was from. but
maybe second year. It's dated February 2020.
Okay. Well, the draft would be. You know what? It probably was the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that'd be the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I meant second Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that we did that in 2018. We did the draft with him, right?
Yeah, we did.
And that's when the Big and Thick came out.
Yeah, big. I like him big and thick.
And he was all over you because you were big and thick.
Yeah. And he goes to me, that's when we took that picture and I was in the middle of you two guys. And then he just turned to me and then whispered into my ear, "You're a thick son of a bitch.
Y'all like my linemen big and thick."
Yeah, there it was.
Who doesn't like their linemen big and thick?
Yeah, I know. Scrawny, what do you want? Scrawny and malnourished?
I had one of those guys.
Did you?
Yeah, I told you that.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And you had to block that guy.
Yeah,
stiff white thing.